Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John begins a new series entitled, Preventing Soul Damage. In combat, taking a defensive position does not win a war, and only allows you to respond to what the enemy is doing. The key is to go on the offensive and roll the enemy back so there's no need for defense. In the four Gospels, Jesus responded to the problems of the people, but he also tried to help them to live in such a way to avoid troubles. The spirit of offense is one of the devil's primary weapons with which he tried to derail and provoke Jesus, but he never took the bait because there was nothing in him that Satan could entice. This should be our goal, where we die to self, because a dead person cannot be offended. This message is entitled, Are You Easily Offended? Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church on April 10th, 2011. Let's stand for prayer right now. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now for these moments we have here today. And Father God, times are grim, and we are down toward the end. But Lord, we are not in despair, because you created us to be at this time. We have been given strength and in knowledge and understanding to live in these times. And I thank you right now, Father God, for opening the word to us, so that today we shall be healed, set free, Father God, and be able to be living victorious. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. If you got a Bible, will you turn to Galatians chapter 2. This is where we're going to start. That's Galatians, the second chapter. Now, if you got depressed over the thing I just shared with you here this morning, you can join me, because when I wrote this, I got extremely depressed. And I realized how far down we were. But we need to know what time it is. Now I'm going to start a series here today called Preventing Soul Damage. Preventing Soul Damage. And today we're going to be talking about offense. And I'm going to read to you from my outline. In previous sermons, we have talked about healing the soul from wounds that have been inflicted on it. But to be victorious, it is important to find out how to protect your soul from being wounded in the first place. The medical community speaks about preventive medicine, and we can call this preventive spiritual medicine. Now, here's what the Apostle Paul talked about. A dead person cannot be offended. Offense is a choice weapon of the devil, because he knows that it will cause soul damage if the person is offended. Thus, to prevent the soul being hurt by offense, we must die to ourselves. Let's turn to Galatians now, chapter 2, and I'm going to read from verse number 19. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, I used to use an illustration of a cat. And then I was told, you know, that's crude. We got too many cat lovers. I said, okay. So we used a dog. And then the dog lovers rose up and said, you can't talk about dogs that way. We love dogs. So I said, okay then. So I don't know what I can use. But let's just say that we got a person that is dead. Now, if a person is dead, you cannot insult them. If you come up to a funeral, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. They have an open casket. And like the mafia did, they always went to the funeral to make sure the guy died, you know, that he shot. So you walk up to the casket and you look down there and you say, all right, you rascal, you got what you deserved. You're dead. Now that guy is not going to rise up and say, don't talk to me like that. He's going to just lay like this. And there's not going to be any reaction. He's dead. What we need to do is this. We need to die to self. Because only when we are dead to self, then the devil is not able to entice us. Well, let's get into the message. When does offense come? Well, you don't have, if you wake up in the morning, you don't have to wait more than maybe an hour, maybe 15 minutes, and somebody will offend you. I mean, it comes on the hour at the hour, you know. Have you ever had someone question your intelligence? I have. When somebody come up, you know, and they kind of, you know, just question, you know, your education, your intelligence. And what happened to you inside when somebody come up and say, you know, well, you're not too bright, are you? You just got off the boat, you know, maybe you need some assistance. You know, immediately it rises up in us. We get offended. I showed them, you know, I am bright. I know what to do. We get to brag. And now we show our stupidity. Have you ever been rebuked when you were in the right? You know that you were right. But you got rebuked and said, you don't know what you're talking about. Man, that creates a hurt. The third one now is getting bad. Being rejected. I haven't found one person yet that says, you know, I love rejection. Salesmen have to live with rejection. But then when a salesman comes home, his wife better not reject him because he had enough that day. He will fly off his handle. How about being insulted? Have you ever been insulted? Doesn't feel good, does it? How about being falsely accused? I know you did that. Don't lie to me. You are guilty. Have you ever had someone talk down to you? Now, little boy, little girl, you know, I know that you only got a high school, you know, you never went to college, you know, so you don't know any better, you know, but you know, I'm so glad, you know, I got college and I will help, you know, help you along, you know, because you don't know that much. Oh, we love to hear that, don't we? How about when people don't understand what you're saying? You ever had that happen to you? Particularly if you get these calls, if you try to call, you know, a call center and you end up in India, Bangladesh or someplace, and the people are trying, I don't know. And you say, well, I can't hear what you say. Oh, no, you know. You ever been offended? Simply saying, you know, can't you have anyone living in the United States that speak English? When you're misunderstood, have you ever been misunderstood? When you really meant good and it turned out to be mud. As we look on this partial list of offenses, it becomes clear that offense is doing damage to a person's ego. I want you to think about that now. If you don't have an ego, you can't be offended. Now, being an immigrant, as I am, I got offended many times. And I hated it when I met someone brand new and only talked maybe for 30 seconds and a guy would stop and says, "Now, where are you from?" And I said, "Well, I'm from Sacramento. I'm from Salt Lake City." No. "Where do you come originally from? Because I can hear you have an accent." Well, the first time was cute. The second time was irritating. When I ask you that question 1,000 times, you know, you get tired of it. And you simply want to tell them it's none of your business. See, ego. Because when I came to this nation, I wanted to learn English. And I wanted to learn it so perfect that no one could tell the difference. And I hated when he said, "Well, you're not born here." All right. I got to live with it. Should a Christian defend his ego? Turn to Matthew 20, 25. It's Matthew 20, 25. Should we defend our ego? It's Matthew 20 and 25. But Jesus called unto him and said, "You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Why did I get offended when someone asked where I came from? The reason for that is that I had heard so many negative things about immigrants. In years past, the Irish got it, the Germans got it, the Italians got it, Mexicans are getting it. I mean, any group coming into this country, they get lambasted because of immigrants. So I really wanted to catch this man. I got upset because I wanted people to think highly of me. I wanted to be up here. And when they lowered me to immigrant status, my ego was deflated. And I felt a third-class citizen. Praise God, he cured me of that. And I'm just happy that you can understand when I speak. And I don't care, you know, if you find out I'm not born in this country. So Jesus simply said this, don't defend your ego. The spirit of pride is behind ego. Lucifer had plenty of pride, and his ego had inflated himself to the point he was ready to dethrone God and establish himself above God. Turn to Isaiah 14. That's the book of Isaiah, Old Testament, chapter 14. Have you read this? "How are you fallen from heaven, Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground? Would it weaken the nations?" I'm in Isaiah 14, 12. "For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sight of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Pride. Pride. Turn to Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28. Verse number 14. You are the anointed cherub that covered. I've set you so. You was upon a holy mountain of God. You walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You were perfect in your ways for the day that you were created, till iniquity was found in you. By the multitude of your merchandise, they have filled the midst of you with violence. You have sinned, therefore I will cast you profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy you, covering cherub, for the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You have corrupted your wisdom by reason of your brightness. I will cast you to the ground. I will lay you before kings, that they may behold you. Pride. Satan had an enormous amount of pride. And he projects that on us. As a teenager, we went to dances. We went to restaurants. And it took me a while to catch on. Because the people standing there selling you the tickets, you know, were nicely dressed and so on. And when you went to a restaurant, they intimidated you. Have you ever had a waiter come up, you know, and in one of these fancy restaurants and says, okay, so how are we doing tonight? Can we start you with some wine? And then they rattle something up in French. The reason for that is to intimidate you. You don't want to tell the guy, I don't speak French, man. You want to be like they are, you know. So he says, well, what do you recommend, sir? When you ask that question, he's going to recommend the most expensive bottle in a joint. And you can say, okay, I'll take that, you know. And now you begin to figure, I'm in with the big boys. I'm drinking the right stuff. And then, you know, they ask you in French, you know, about, you know, how would you like this and that, you know. So you really want to buy something for $15 a plate. But you get intimidated. You buy something for $40. And you simply said, I ought to show that man that I'm somebody. I'm somebody. I'm buying the biggest stuff they have here. I'm going to get the finest wine they have. And you know, the guy goes out, when he goes and get the food, he's laughing, you know, going back, saying to the cook, I got some idiots out there, and they try to impress me, and we're going to milk them of everything they got. Well, I caught on early to that. Usually when I go into a place and they try to intimidate them, I say, excuse me, sir, I've been thrown out from better places than this, so don't worry about it. Ego is horrible. There was a time, you know, when you want to impress people with your cars, clothing, whatever it is. Pride and ego will hurt your soul because you're vulnerable now. The prophet Isaiah told us the kind of life Jesus would live in order to prepare himself for the ultimate sin offering. Turn to Isaiah chapter 53. It's Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. And you pick it up here in verse 1. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? We shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root of a dry ground. He has no form nor colorless. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. Have ye hid as it were faces from him? He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and careless sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. He was oppressed. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and for judgment. Who shall declare the innovation? For he was cut off of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence. Neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet they pleased the Lord to bruise him. He is put into grief. When you shall make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. I want you to see Jesus in a little different view today. Jesus had always been with God. Jesus the Creator. God the Father, Jesus the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is one person. And in eternity, before they started the creation, they knew that man would fall. And it was decided that Jesus would go to earth to be incarnate in the body and to die for the sins of men. He was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He was born in a stable, raised by a carpenter and his wife, lived a humble life. We read about this temptation. I'm going to paraphrase that today. He was led into the wilderness, fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And when Satan came, Satan said three times the same thing. He tempted him with a stone. He tempted him with a pinnacle. And he said, I give you all the kingdoms. But I really want to catch this now. Here's what Satan said. If you are the Son of God. Satan had been judged by Jesus. He had been judged at the courthouse in heaven, stripped of his power, his body burnt, tossed to the earth. He was standing now in front of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he tried to insult him. Because Jesus had a human body. And he had human emotions. And he said, if you be the Son of God, make this stone to be bread. If you be the Son of God, throw yourself down. If you be the Son of God, worship me. And I give you all the nations in the world. That was an insult. What did Jesus say? He didn't say, you lousy, dirty, rotten devil. You know who I am. He didn't try to prove himself. How many times have you been insulted? And somebody said, well, who are you? You're nothing. You rose up and said, well, I show you my money. I show you this. I show you that. They got you goat. Jesus refused. He simply, it is written, man should not live by bread alone. Do not tempt the Lord. You should only worship the Lord your God. The mission laid out for Jesus on earth was not to build an earthly kingdom. Look in John 19:36. John 18:36. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servant fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Jesus did not have a kingdom on this earth. He's building a spiritual one. When I was in a church in Salt Lake City in the mid-60s, God called me to preach. And I remember going forward, surrender, being licensed. We only had one deacon in the church. He's about the same age as me. He was a lieutenant in the U.S. Army. Also had a degree in engineering. And, of course, he spoke perfect English from Georgia. Nice Georgian accent. So he took me one day and he said, Brother John, I'm not sure about your calling. You know, I don't think that you are qualified. You have no church background. You don't have this and that, you know. I think that you should forget about going into the ministry. He's a nice guy. He helped me repair cars and stuff like this. But he simply told me this, you don't have what it takes to be a preacher. If I would have listened to him, I says, well, Ron, maybe you are right. Maybe I made a mistake. I would have made the biggest mistake in my life. I didn't get offended. I got sad. But I decided to move on. Moving up now to 1969 in the seminary. All the students got assigned to as student pastors. And I thought this would be a wonderful opportunity for me to have a little church. So I made an appointment with the professor in charge of that program. I walked in and said, Professor, I'd like to have a little church. I'd like to be a student pastor. And he laughed his head off. I mean, he didn't even answer me. He rolled in his chair. And I just sat there. What did I say? And after he finished, his belly laughed. He said, you ain't fit for that. You haven't got what it takes. So get out of my office. I thank God that I did not get offended, but I got sad. I cried. I said, God, what's wrong? You see, the devil is going to throw curveballs at you all the time to get you off. So he can simply neutralize you. Jesus came as a servant to die on the cross for the sins of the people. Turn to Matthew chapter 26 now. There's Matthew chapter 26. If you pick it up in verse number 60. Matthew 26, 60. But found none, yea, through many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses, and said his fellow, said, I'm able to destroy the temple of God, to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose unto him, answer you nothing. What is it with these witnesses against you? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said to him, I adjure you by the living God, did you tell us, will you be the Christ, the Son of God? Jesus unto him, you have said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the power and coming in the clouds of heaven. When Jesus was insulted, he did not get angry. I mean, rub that in. When Jesus got insulted, he did not get angry. When you get angry, your intelligence is turned off. Let me run it again. If Satan can get you angry, he turns off your intelligence. And you run on raw emotions. And raw emotions are stupid. When Jesus was accused and questioned, he said nothing. Matthew 27. And you pick it up in verse number 12. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Do you not hear how many things they witness against you? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Do you understand when Jesus stood there before Pilate? Jesus was the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the creator. And he had to stand in front of this little peacock to a Roman governor, a speck of dirt, that simply said, you know, I have power over you. And I'm sure that Satan whispered in the ears of Jesus, you show him. Show him. Kill him. But you see, Jesus came for a purpose. He came to live a sinless life, to die for our sins, so that we could be saved through his death and resurrection. Now, you are saved. You are a testimony. There are thousands of people standing behind you that God wants to reach. And Satan says, well, that's not going to happen. I'm going to take you out. I'm going to get you so offended that I will wipe the floor with you. Jesus knew who he was. Turn to John 10:27. John 10:27. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And I've given to them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Jesus knew who he was. He knew, I am God. I'm not going to be offended. I'm not going to take the bait. I'm simply going to do the job that I have been given. Jesus knew who he was. They couldn't shake him. Jesus knew they had a mission to accomplish. Turn to Luke 9:28. That's Luke 9:28. Luke 9, verse number 28. And it came to pass about the 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into the mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashioning of his countenance was altered. His raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him 2 men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory, and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Jesus knew his mission. You couldn't derail him from his mission. And Jesus did not come to defend his personhood, but he came to save people from their sins. Luke 9:51. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfast and set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered the village of Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because of his face was that he would go to Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, will you that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? Even as Elijah did. But he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. This is the spirit of Christ. This is the spirit that you and I should have. Now this week, I got tempted. I got offended. And I want to share that with you because I believe it would help some of you. I started a Bible study here on Thursday night about 2-3 years ago. And I didn't want to start a Bible study. Someone asked about it. So I said, well, we're going to see how many will come. And I had about 15 to 16 people sign up. And I said, well, if I got 15, 16 people, I have a Bible study. Well, first of this week, we came down here. And I had 2 people showing up outside, my wife and the crew, the production crew that do the videotaping. Later, one person came in about 50 minutes before I was going to close. As I was standing up here, I could hear the thoughts in my mind. Looking out, one person sitting there, my wife sitting here, another person sitting there. Why should I be here? If people don't think that much about a Bible study, why should I take time to come down? So in my mind, I said, I'm out of here. That's it. So I talked to Joe. I said, Joe, I'm thinking about not having a Bible study. So he said, well, whatever. So I said, well, I'm going to pray about it. Inform Charles next day, you know, no more Bible studies. And I was simply looking forward to, you know, Thursday night, kick back, don't have to drive any place, do some other work, you know, just relax. And then I got a phone call. And someone came, called me and said, you know, I have lied to you. And then the person related, because of your Bible study on the permissive will, I understand where I'm at. And I forgave, I listened, prayed, and hung up. And then the Holy Spirit said this, and I want to listen closely now. This is the time you have a building. This is the time you got a video production crew. It will not last forever. This is your time now. I stopped and thought about it. I missed many things in time past. Maybe I only got 2 people here. But if you're making a video, I do have people watching us in other states. It will be for the future. And I realized that Satan almost got me offended to the place where I simply said, well, you know, coming after 2 people, I'm too much important for that. You know, I really know how to teach a Bible class, you know. My ego got inflated. I realized I need to lay down and die to self again. You see, we resurrect ourselves time and time again. We are dead in the spirit for a while, you see, but then we begin to get resurrected. And we got to die again. There will be a Bible study here. You see, this is the time I got. Maybe a year or 2 years from now, we don't have this place. Maybe a year from now, the internet is not there. This is the hour. This is the time you got. Get rid of all the offense in your life. This is the day to die to yourself and simply say, I'm here to walk with Jesus. I'm not here to please any person. Look what I wrote in the box. Satan could not hurt Jesus because there was nothing in Jesus that he could entice. John 14. John 14:30. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you. For the prince of this world comes and has nothing in me. Can you say that? Can you say that the prince of this world will come, but he will have nothing in me? Because I am dead to myself. I don't care if I get insulted. I don't care if I'm falsely accused. I don't care what is laid upon me. I'm going to be like a duck when it rains. The water just rolls off his back. He's having a good time. Satan could not hurt Jesus because there was nothing in Jesus that could entice, that he could entice. In due time, Jesus was resurrected. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew the 28th chapter. If you pick it up in verse number 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone for the door set upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became a dead man. And the angel answered and said to the women, "Fear not, you, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay." Jesus was resurrected. And when he was resurrected, he was vindicated. And the Bible says in Colossians that he simply put his foot on Satan and crushed him. And when he was resurrected, and his angels return around him, how can you see Jesus in Jerusalem saying, "Lucifer, get over here. Every fallen angel, get over here. Now, bow your knees and confess that I am the Messiah. I am the Lord." And they had to confess, "Jesus is Lord." Someday, you will go to be with Jesus. Someday I'm going to go to be with Jesus. And you know when that day comes, I believe that we will know, maybe shortly before it happened, that this is even going to go. And just as the angels are coming down and just calling your name and saying, "We're taking you home today," you look at your body for the last time and says, "Okay, I'm done. I'm done." You step out of your body, it falls down. You will never again need your driver's license, your keys. You never again need to come back home to your house. I had to clean out as my mom and dad. And you know, the first thing you do when somebody's dead is you take all the clothes and put them in a bag and take them down to the Goodwill and Salvation or whatever it is. Take their underwear and socks, they're never going to come back. And don't you want to be ready? Don't you want when that moment comes, you can say to the angels, "Praise God, I did what I could. I only got 2 fishes and 5 loaves, but man, did I use them." You don't want to have regret that day and says, "Oh no, I'm going now, but I'm not ready." Be prepared to be ready. Turn to Revelation 1:10. Revelation 1:10. I'm told to keep it down, but we've got to get some things in here. This is a short sermon, 22 pages. Revelation chapter 1. And I pick it up in verse number 10. I love to read this. "I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, heard behind me a great voice of a trumpet saying, 'I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in the book and send it to the 7 churches, which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, lo, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the path with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, if they burn in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. That's my Jesus. That's whom I represent. And when small turkeys come up around me or whatever it is, I'm going to simply say, Jesus, help me to handle this. Let me just blow this off. You know, somebody told me this some time ago. When you get criticized, somebody said, consider the source. Now, someday you and I are going to be with Jesus and reign with him. I'll let you read Revelation 21, 1 through 7 yourself. That's where we're going to be one day. But until that day, we are servants as we live our lives on this earth. Turn to John 13, 12. John 13, 12. This is where we are today. So after he had washed their feet, so after Jesus had washed their feet and taken his garments and was set down again, he said to them, know you what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say to you, the servant is no greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. That's who we are, servants, bond slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have been insulted, offended, since I got into the ministry. And I will be offended and insulted until the day Jesus takes me home. But I decided this. I'm going to be like a duck. It's going to roll off my back. I'm going to simply say this. If you want to be petty, you want to have that garbage, eat it. You have it for breakfast. You have it for lunch. You have it for dinner. And when you go to sleep, you remember it. As far as me is going, I'm going to be walking with Jesus and keep my eyes on Jesus. Look at the statement then. Know who you are. Know who you are. If you know who you are, walk like a child of the King. You know, I walked into a bank. We like tried to borrow some money years ago. And the banker said, what kind of assets do you have? Have you got some stocks, bonds? Have you got some savings? And I said, sir, I said, I got no stocks. I got no bonds. I got no property at that time. We didn't have that. I got nothing, but I got Jesus. And that banker looked upon me and simply said, poor soul. I don't know if we can loan you money. But they did. Despite this man. Know who you are. When you walk into a room, walk in, you are a king's kid. Just walk in and simply dominate the place. Let the Holy Ghost radiate out of you. If they insult you, something says, well, who cares? Know your Master. Know Jesus. Know where you are going. Someday you might be standing in front of a firing squad. So you might be in a place where they're interrogating you, intimidating, got you tied up. And they says, you know, You better confess. You better bow down. And simply said this, I know where I'm going. You can take my life, but you can't take me. The moment you kill me, I'm gone to be with Jesus. Do what you are supposed to do on the earth. You got a calling. Do what you have to do. If you might say, well, I'm not in my calling yet. Sure you are. It's in stages. The calling is in stages. When I surrendered to preach, I didn't get a church right away. I served as a Gideon. I served as a Sunday school superintendent. Went out to seminary. I served as an evangelist. I became a pastor. I did all kinds of different things. Serve where you are right now. And don't let Satan offend you through people. Make up your mind. No one is going to offend me today. No one. I'm not going to be offended. If you don't protect yourself, you're going to have a wounded soul. You learn today how to do it, when to do it. Here's a problem now. You're sitting there and says, well, you know, I don't know about this or that. I don't know. It's okay for him to say that. You know, he's a full-time minister. He's paid for doing that. He's paid to be holy. I'm not paid for that. Listen, we all disciples. You can do something today. You can simply say, Lord, I have been offended. I can easily be offended. Maybe you have died to yourself. Praise the Lord. If you have died to yourself, I would like to see you up here, testimony time, and share with us your victory. Don't hide it. If you're there, share your victory. But if you're not, take this message to heart and simply say, Lord, the servant is not above his master, neither am I. Lord, I need some help. This week, I almost blew it. If I hadn't got that phone call, I would have simply canceled the Bible study. But God knew what he had to do to get my attention. And then I said, I'm listening. Let's start for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that you conquered the devil, that you made it possible to be victorious. And Father God, you know that we are just frail men and women with emotions, Father God, egos, inferiority, insecurity, Lord, that Satan is playing. But I pray today, Father God, that this be the first step for all of us to be able to look offense in the face and tell our demon, in the name of Jesus, get out of my face. I'm not buying into this. Get. Thank you, my Heavenly Father. I pray for those that are viewing us, listening to us, those that are here, Father God. Let this be a turnaround day today when we recognize we can be victorious if we are willing to die to self. Father God, I pray for funerals here today. As the elders are going to be up here, Lord, let there be funerals left and right so that we can be victorious. In Jesus' name. If you're watching us, I would say this. Pray where you are. Call upon God. If you're not saved, simply say, my Heavenly Father. You're not even my Heavenly Father, but I want you to be. I believe in Jesus. I believe He is the Son of God. Save me. Forgive me my sins. Come on in, Jesus. Come on in, Jesus, and save me. And He will. Then call us, write us. Let us help you. And if you're living close by here, come and see us. In Jesus' name. The altars have opened. You come right now.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the first part in the series, Preventing Soul Damage, and was entitled, Are You Easily Offended? In the four Gospels, Jesus responded to the problems of the people, but He also tried to help them to live in such a way to avoid troubles. When He was insulted, He did not get angry. When He was accused and questioned, He said nothing. Jesus knew He was the Son of God, that He had a mission to accomplish, and He did not come to defend His personhood, but to save people from their sins. The spirit of offense is one of the devil's primary weapons with which he tried to derail and provoke Jesus, but he never took the bait because there was nothing in him that Satan could entice. This should be our goal, where we die to self, because a dead person cannot be offended. Someday we are going to reign with Jesus, but until that day we are servants as we live out our lives on the earth. This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1285. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today. And until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.